welcome to the Voice of Social Sales. I'm your host, Chelsea Pites, and I am thrilled to announce that the book What to Post has finally hit the quote-unquote air quotes stands on Amazon, where everyone goes and buys books, and I'm so honored. I just want to give a shout out to everybody who supported the book, who supported the journey, who contributed to the book, because we are collectively number one Amazon bestsellers in five different categories. And one of those is in the mortgage category. We've got some others in real estate as well. And I'm just so honored. So if you'd like to pick up a copy of What to Post, How to Create Engaging Social Media Content That Builds Your Brand and Gets Results for Real Estate, you can do that right on Amazon.com. I will leave a link in the show notes. And don't forget that if we're not connected on Instagram, we need to be, because I'm offering a free Instagram bio audit to anyone who comes from the show and says, hey, I heard about you talk about the audit on your podcast. I'd love to get one. You can find me on all the socials at chelsea.pites. That's P-E-I-T-Z. Okie dokie, let's get into the show today. We're going to be talking about the worst branding mistakes that you can make on social media today. Now, first and foremost, let me just say right here and now, I am not a branding expert by any means. I'm just giving you my opinion on things that I have seen, I've personally tried, I've heard from other people who are quote unquote branding experts. The first thing that I want to start with, I know seems kind of obvious, but it's so important. And I do probably about 1,000 Instagram audits a year. So I'm not doing audits on, you know, LinkedIn's and Facebook's. I'm just doing that on Instagram. But I have seen a lot of the other accounts. And one of the first branding mistakes that I see people making, which is very common, is in your username of your account. And some of the mistakes that I see are, you know, we've got one username on Instagram, we've got a different one on Facebook. Clearly, you have a completely different one on LinkedIn because you're using your first and last name, which is why it's so important to be considering including your first and last name in a lot of your usernames, not only for your personal branding, because that's what we're going to be searching these days. But let's talk about specifically on Instagram. Some of the major mistakes that I see when it comes to branding is, like I said, people are not including a variation of their first and last name. Now, I know that if you have a very common name, or sometimes you may not have a common name, like I don't consider mine very common, but Chelsea Pites was taken, which is why I had to put the dot in between the Chelsea and the Pites. You can create variations of your personal brand name by adding words to the beginning or the end. It could be the Chelsea Pites, your Chelsea Pites, Chelsea Pites TV, whatever you want to include it. But it's important that you have that first and last name there, because if I'm searching for you and you do not have one of your personal branding info pieces, your name, in the username or the name field of your Instagram profile, I'm never going to find you. This is very similar to how it was on Snapchat and also how it is now on TikTok. If I don't have your exact username, I'm not going to find you. And a lot of us will flip open our we went back 10 years. We're not flipping open our phone, but we are opening up our feeds. We're going to flip open our feeds and we might be typing in a name. And if I don't know your exact username, like if it's blueeyedgirl22, I'm not going to find you. So it's time to go in and look at your usernames across the socials and see, is it personal branding related? Is it your first and last name? So I want you to go out today, and specifically on Instagram, I want you to look at the username, which is at the top of your profile, and the name field, which appears directly under your profile photo. And I want you to make sure that in one of those areas, you have your first and last name or a variation thereof. It could also be a brand name if you're a brokerage and you have your brand name in there. People might be looking for your brand name, and they might also be looking for your first and last name. So you might want to have your brand name in the username and your first and last name in the name field. Remember, in Instagram, those two fields are the only searchable fields at all. So you want to make sure you optimize them with those names and or keywords that your ideal audience might be searching for. What you don't want to do is you don't want to have Chelsea Pites in the username and Chelsea Pites in the name field again, because now you're only going to get found for your name. So it's important to be thinking about those usernames. Now, another tip that I want to give you is I see a lot of usernames that are either very long or have a lot of punctuation in them. You have to remember that these days we're going to be verbally telling people how to find us as well. So if you have all these crazy punctuation marks, underscores, exclamation point, dots here, etc., it can be a bit difficult to verbally tell someone, hey, go follow me at blah, blah, blah. Go follow me, you know, at XYZ22_. That's difficult for someone. So if you're podcasting, if you're verbally telling someone, you need to have a very easy to remember username that people can actually phonetically spell. Some of us have really difficult names. My last name is not easy to spell. If I had to do it all over again, I might put something else in there, but I still want to have my first and last name. That's why I tell people it's P-E-I-T-Z. I'm trying to give it some sort of effect, some audio effect so that people are like, oh yeah, E-I. And I've even said to people, it's like Old McDonald, E-I-E-I-O, and that helps it stick. So you have to remember you are at some point verbally going to be telling your username. You don't want it to be cute. You don't want it to be random. You don't want it to be something that people can't understand what it is. It's like that license plate game. You guys remember the license plate game where people would have to figure out what the heck people were saying in their license plate? You do not want that in your usernames, okay? Remember the three S's. You want to be searchable. You want to be shareable. You want to be savable. Well, searchable starts with your username. So that's branding mistake number one. Branding mistake number two goes across all the platforms. This is for YouTube, for LinkedIn, for Instagram, all the socials. And it's having a non-optimized account, a non-optimized about you section, a summary section, whatever that particular social is going to call it, your bio, your summary, your about you. They give you spaces to fill information out, not just because they want to. That is how they're going to determine if your profile has been completely optimized. So if you have a Facebook business page, you need to make sure that you go in and fill out every single section you can in the About You section, in all of the settings, your phone numbers, your contact information, your other social media accounts. So many people do not link to other social media accounts. And it doesn't mean that you have to look for a button that says, put your Instagram account in here and we'll link it. You can actually type in your username or your handle on other social media accounts in the About Me section or summary. People will go there. But I don't see a lot of that happening. What happens when you optimize your Facebook business page or complete it as much as you possibly can, it gives Google and Facebook all of the keywords and the information that tells them, here's what you're all about. Here's the people that you're serving. Here's the keywords that you should be found for. So if you don't have anything in there or very minimal information or one sentence, guess what? You're not going to get served to a lot of people. LinkedIn is a major, major platform where you want to have an optimized profile. It even tells users on the back end if you have an all-star profile. It's very easy to get an all-star profile. It basically means that you have completed all of the necessary sections in LinkedIn's eyes to become an all-star, which means you're going to get shown more, you're going to get found more, they're going to look at you as a serious user. And it's things like filling out your headline, filling out your summary, having three places of work, including a current one, having a profile photo. You guys, these are not difficult things to do. It takes probably 10 minutes or less to get an all-star profile in LinkedIn. Now, I actually encourage people to go above and beyond the all-star level and include media files, which we're going to talk about in just a moment. But it's very important to LinkedIn and to the people who are going to be reading through and deep dive stalking your content, because let's face it, we all do. And if I can't find everything out about you that I want to find out about you in one place, then I'm just going to move on. People want to get to know who you are. And once they have found a person that's interesting to them, they deep dive, research, stalk, whatever you want to call it. So Facebook pages are important to optimize. Your LinkedIn profile, very important. Your Instagram bio. We've talked about this ad nauseum. I'm sure you can find multiple podcasts of me talking about making sure you have your profile picture showing your face, making sure you have a call to action to get people to click the link. A lot of people aren't even including links. Make sure your link isn't a Facebook link, because if I'm clicking on a Facebook link from Instagram, even if I'm logged in on my phone, it still makes me log in again. And that's a barrier. That's friction. Optimizing your accounts doesn't mean you're just filling everything out, you're actually making it frictionless and easy for the end user. In Instagram specifically, they are looking at what words you're including in that username and the name field, and also your bio section. Now, the bio section isn't searchable, but guess what? Instagram knows what's in there, and if you are very savvy and smart with the keywords that you are entering into your bio, they're going to say, this person's in real estate, or this person's in mortgage, or this person's in title and escrow. We know where to serve their content. You have to tell the platforms who you want to connect with, who your niche is, and they will help you out by putting you in front of the right people. So brand mistake number two is having non-optimized accounts. By the way, you guys, non-optimized, I'm just going to include in that tumbleweeds, you know, setting up your LinkedIn profile and never going on there and being active, setting up a Facebook business page and never going in there and being active. You have a comment sitting in there that you never replied to. You have maybe a not so positive review that you got 2 months ago and never responded to because guess what? You didn't have your notifications turned on or you didn't know where to find them. And now it's too late. Those are all reflective of your brand. So number one, again, usernames. Number two, non-optimized accounts. I want to talk about number three, which is not having a unique value proposition, a UVP. I think I'm going to do an entire podcast just on this topic. I have a chapter in the book, What to Post, just about your unique value proposition. This is probably one of the hardest things you're ever going to have to do as a professional, and it's distill into one sentence what you do and what the results are, the benefits to your customer. Without using jargon, without saying extraordinary service, exceptional results, blah, 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 blah. It's about having a very simple, clear statement about who you are and who you work with and why people should work with you, what the benefit is, what the result's in. I barely see anyone have a UVP on any of their socials. You guys, this should be on your Facebook page, your cover photos, your business cards, your marketing, your email list. It should basically be your motto, your tagline that tells people who you are and what you do so that in 1 second or less, they can assess why you're different. My UVP, you can see this on my Instagram bio, and also you can see a variation of my UVP on my LinkedIn headline. Again, why you need a UVP? Because the socials are going to ask you for a bio. They're going to ask you for a headline. Those are searchable. Those are what people look at. That's their first impression of your brand. Mine is I share real estate marketing tips that help you grow your business and make more money doing what you love. I share real estate marketing tips that help you grow your business and make more money doing what you love. Now, I didn't just whip that out. That took me a long time. I started with a really, really long one, multiple paragraphs, and I kind of distilled it down and tweaked it. So I'm telling you, who am I working with? Real estate people. What am I doing? I'm giving you real estate marketing tips. Now, what happens to your life and business when you implement them? You're going to make more money doing what you love, okay? UVPs, I hardly see them anywhere. Not a mission statement, not a motto, not a tagline, not jargon. Really think about this formula. I do what for whom that results in. Okay, so that's mistake number three. Mistake number four is not having any call to action in your posts, not having calls to action in your marketing, in your email campaigns, in your profiles, not telling people what to do. And I think some of it is people are like, I don't even know that those really work. I mean, are people really going to click the link? Are they really going to send me an email? Are they going to send me a DM if I just put that in there? The answer is yes, they will. You might just get one person, but still, that's one person. Some people feel like, well, I don't know. I feel like kind of adding a call to action is kind of, you know, cheesy. Is it? Maybe that's how you're looking at the type of call to action, because I can easily create a call to action as a question on any of my posts in LinkedIn, in Facebook, anywhere it may be, even in my YouTube description. It could be as simple as, what's your favorite place to go in Disneyland? Maybe I'm making a post about Disneyland. What's your favorite ride? That's not cheesy. That's me asking people what their, you know, favorite thing is or their opinion. It doesn't always have to be a click here if you want my free download or call me. It doesn't have to be a salesy call to action. But in order to increase your engagement, to go farther in the algorithm, to get more reach, to build your brand, you need to have calls to action. And you guys, it needs to be verbal too, like this one that I'm going to drop right here. If you're loving this podcast, please consider subscribing and leaving me a 5-star review. That right there is a call to action, okay? But seriously, I would love a review and if you would subscribe. So you need to be thinking about those calls to action. In turn, I'm just going to lump this together, is lead capture. And this is something I didn't do for a really long time. And then I finally did it, obviously, when I published the book, What to Post. But if you go to my Instagram bio, you're going to see that you can click a link and you can get a free download. You'll get one email from me and it's the download. I'm not using it to sell people or to send a bunch of junk emails. But I do really want to provide value, but also capture that those people's information, because maybe there's something coming up in the future that they would really benefit by knowing that I'm going to create another piece of content. I can take that email subscribe list, those people who have put up their hands and said, yes, I'm interested in this. And yes, you have permission to connect with me. When you have permission, you can do permission marketing, and you can also upload those people, you know, as long as you tell them what you're going to do with that data, that you might receive emails, you might receive ads. We upload this into Facebook, into a custom audience. You have to be very, very careful. That email list is, it's sacred, right? And you don't want to, you know, sell it to anyone. You want to protect people's data. But you should be collecting and growing your email list, because what happens one day if Instagram and Facebook and all the other things go away and you've got your whole database and all your messages sitting in there? Okay, so no call to action, no lead capture. That is mistake number four. Mistake number five is over branding. And this might ruffle a few feathers, and I just want you to be open-minded about this. Okay, I'm not calling anyone out in specific, but this is something that I personally have experienced myself and I've seen quite a lot of. And it gave me pause. And I thought to myself, why is there a need to brand, air quotes, when posting something like this? And here's my examples. If it's a holiday, 4th of July, Christmas, Easter, Valentine's Day, someone's birthday. I'm of the personal opinion that if somebody I want to send a birthday message to, I want them to know that it's for me and because I'm thinking of them, and it doesn't need to be about my brand. So in my opinion, adding your brand to something like that, like a well wish, a congratulations, you know, a birthday, a holiday, I'm not sure that it's the most appropriate place to add your company logo. Now, if somebody has just closed a property and you're saying congratulations from the team at, makes sense. But a happy birthday is about me and not your brand. And I hope that resonates with people. And I don't want people to feel badly if they have done this, because it's something that you don't really think about. You know, you think, okay, we've got these social media graphics and we need to send them out. Of course, we want them to know it's from us. Not that you're coming from a place of saying, hey, I'm going to shove my brand in your face on your birthday, or this is about me and not you. Of course, you're not saying that. But sometimes we forget and we're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. You know, this is really about them. So I do want to encourage you to not overbrand everything. You don't need to have your watermark or your logo in everything all the time. If you are making content and posting it, obviously you want to have that branding in there, because somebody could steal it. Somebody could screenshot. Somebody could share it out and not tag you. But when it's about someone else, or if it's coming from your heart and you would say to yourself, well, is this something that I would say to a family member? Is it a happy birthday? Is it a, you know, happy holidays? Would you put your brand on it? I don't know. So I want you to think about that, okay? So overbranding is number five. Okay, number six, you guys, I know this is a really sensitive topic as well, so I might as well just lump the sensitive topics all together. I see many people who are making excellent content, either going live or recording themselves or doing Instagram stories or Snapchat stories, and I see them doing this while they're operating a moving vehicle. And for me personally, I have made a choice not to do that because, you know, in many states, my state currently, it is illegal to be quote unquote distracted and driving. And I've actually looked up some statutes in some other states, and they, you know, have passed those laws too. Now, technically, am I touching the phone? Am I, you know, texting someone? Am I typing into it? No, a lot of people have those like dash cams, but I still see people looking over at them. And yes, you could still make the argument, and people have made this argument to me about, well, it's just as being distracted as, you know, looking at the radio or typing in a, or not typing, I guess, tuning in like a radio station. The argument absolutely could be there. For me, I'm just saying personally, I've made the decision not to from a branding perspective. And the reason is because many people disagree with it. It's a very hot topic. It's like politics. And I'm not sure that, you know, you might be able to win with people who are totally against it or completely for it. What I have decided personally is that it doesn't serve my brand. And I have made a decision not to do that. So not shaming anyone, not saying, you know, you shouldn't do this. I'm just giving you my personal opinion that it could go very, very badly and it could be very tragic. And there has been many stories of people who have been filming, whether it's a recording for YouTube or going live, and sadly have had a very tragic accident. And I certainly would never want anyone who's listening to go through that, lose a family member while somebody was going live, being on the other end of that tragedy. So I would just bring this to your attention, and I want you to think about how that might affect your brand, what other people's perception might be. Also, I would really urge you to check into the local laws, because I know that these laws are being passed in many states and they don't end at just texting. They are encompassing quote unquote distracted driving. So, all right, we're going to get off that topic. We talked about overbranding and driving and going live. All right, the next thing that I want to talk about with branding mistakes is tagging people randomly. And I get this quite a bit. If I'm going to tag someone, I typically make sure that it is relevant to the person that I'm tagging. Either we've talked about it in the past, they're in the photo or the content, it's something that they would find valuable. It's not random. And when you randomly tag people, number one, they don't know why you're tagging them. Number two, they probably are going to get annoyed. And number three, they're going to have this like bad taste in their mouth for your brand, because you're like, oh yeah, that's like the guy or the girl that's like always tagging me in their random posts. And I guess my question is, are you tagging them because you heard that tagging people gets more engagement, which if done right, it does? Or are you tagging people randomly just hoping that someone's going to share it out? Because if you're hoping for that, it's probably not going to happen unless it's something really, really relevant to them. So I do not recommend tagging people randomly, or even just assuming that people are possibly interested in that content. A lot of times, you know, I'll get sent posts, maybe not tagged, but sent stuff, and I'm excited, hoping, oh my gosh, somebody sent me a message. And the last 12 messages they sent to me were actually just them promoting their own content with like no reference point, like, hey, I was thinking of you the other day and I thought you might like this, just like, here's my post. And so it really kind of takes the personal piece of it, like kind of that intimate relationship that you like create with somebody through, you know, DMs or social media and all of that. So I do want to caution you guys, if you are going to be sharing your content, which is great, I absolutely encourage you to share your content, I want you to think about how you're sharing it. Are you sending a heartfelt message to the people? Are you sending them like a voice message or a video and saying, hey, I just wanted to share this post with you because you really inspired me to do X, Y, and Z, and so I made this post about it. Or I'm sending you this post because I really like your feedback on it. I really value, you know, your feedback. You're a true professional and I'm wondering if you'd help me out. Or honestly, if you do need help with engagement and you want people to share things out or comment on it, then give them a heartfelt reason and say, hey, I'm reaching out to you because I really respect you and I realize that, you know, you may not be able to comment on everything or you may miss things. And I would love it if you would join the conversation over here and drop some value. Those are really great ways to get other people to engage with your content. Instead of just like blanket shooting out a post to 20, 30 people, because that's what I think. I assume that you've just sent it out to multiple people and it doesn't make me feel special. And that's something that I think that, you know, is a branding mistake. And after a while too, if all you're sending to people is your content, it's all about you, all about you, all about you, people say, hey, well, okay, obviously you're just interested in you. Why am I even here? So I want you to be thinking about how you're reaching out to your network, how you're sharing your content, and are you really legitimately asking people to get involved with your content for a reason? Because they're experts, because you value their feedback, because whatever, okay? All right, the next branding mistake is relying on autoresponders, outsourcing everything in your social media, and also only using third-party scheduling platforms and over-relying on those to get your content out, but you forget to go in to talk to people and engage and support other people's content. There's nothing inherently wrong with autoresponders. There's nothing inherently wrong with outsourcing all of your social media. What happens, though, is the idea of outsourcing, air quotes again, sometimes we find, you know, a tool that could be used as a great supplement where it's going to be doing some posting for you, or it's going to give you some pieces of content that you can then post because you're always looking for great ideas. Awesome. But what happens is we start to have sometimes an over-reliance on those things, and then we're never going in and being good community members. We're just saying, oh, set it and forget it. My posts are going to go out. It's all good. It's posting 3 times a week for me. But are you going and supporting other people's content? Are you having conversations? Are you being involved? And what happens if you don't do that, then your algorithm is going to suffer. Because if you start just like having posts that nobody's engaging with, and you're just, you know, again, you're not visiting the socials, you're just relying on something else to do it, and it gets 1 like or 2 likes, and that happens weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks after weeks, then your content isn't going to go farther. It's just going to stay stagnant because the algorithms are like, well, nobody engages with this content, so we're not really going to push it. So an over-reliance on autoresponders and outsourcing and third-party scheduling platforms. The autoresponder thing, especially if it's in like a DM, most of the time people can tell. I'm not talking about chatbots on Facebook. Those can be very helpful, and there absolutely is a time and place for those. But over-relying on it, and I definitely want to encourage you that if you have an autoresponder that is a sales pitch, please turn it off. Nothing frustrates me more when I follow someone, or like they follow me and I follow back, and the first thing I get is clearly an auto response of, hey, if I can ever help you with blah, 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 blah needs, here's my phone number, blah, blah, blah. If I wanted your help with that, I would seek you out. Like, it just feels like an attack of, whoa, hey, this is like my private sacred space. Like, you don't need to be sending me your sales pitch right away. I mean, LinkedIn is definitely rife with this on spammy messages. And guess what I do on LinkedIn, you guys? And I do this on Instagram too. And other people do it too. If I'm doing it, other people do it. I report those as spam. And if you continually get reported as spam in any platform, you're going to probably lose your account. Your algorithm is definitely going to be impacted. People don't want sales pitches. And if you don't think that sending somebody out the gate, a DM, a private message, it's like, hey, I'm in this industry and I can help you, and if you ever need help, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's a sales pitch, my friend. In the world of DMs, that's a sales pitch. And yes, it's a numbers game. You'll get some people that will respond positively, but overall in 2020, that, in my opinion, is not going to happen. So that is the next branding mistake. Okay, so my last branding mistake that I'm going to cover is not showing your face. I know I come across so many people that are like, I know I need to get better at Instagram stories and showing my face. I'm always like taking pictures of my kids or my dogs or houses or whatever. You guys, you have to remember that it is 2020, and we do expect people to have a reality show of their own, and we do expect to be able to see your face. Remember, Nike pays people millions and millions of dollars to have their face for a campaign. And we want to get to know and like you and feel like we have some sort of relationship with you before we connect with you for business. And most of that has to do with showing your face and hearing your voice and just having some sense of who you are as a human being. And so what I do see is a lot of people using logos or caricatures or bitmojis as their profile picture. Please make it a picture of your face, because that's where I, you know, immediately start to connect and build trust. It's not about ego. It's not about blasting your face all over. That's how a lot of our generation was raised. Now it's about building trust through technology. And we want to see who the person is. Now, I want you to imagine if I was trying to find an expert to work with and I'm looking at five different accounts and four out of the five accounts just had like pictures of sunsets and houses and maybe dogs. I mean, dogs would be okay because I love dogs. And then one of them had some pictures of their face and maybe they even had any videos of them talking. I would go with that person. Maybe that's just me personally, but I don't believe it's just me. I would go with that person because our brain connects with other people's faces and we start to feel like, oh, this is somebody that I feel like maybe I can trust. We don't even know what's happening. So branding mistake that I see all time and time again is not showing your face. So those are my branding mistakes for 2020 and beyond. You know, if you have any that you want me to add to a future show, I'd love to hear about it. Don't forget that we can connect on Instagram and I'll give you a free Instagram bio audit. Please check out the book, What to Post on Amazon, and I will leave all the links in the show notes. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time. Bye.